Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to John chapter 21, we're going to be reading verses 15 through 17 in just a moment. We're continuing our series this morning titled Reboot, and today's message is Reset Your Heart to Serve. Reset Your Heart to Serve. You know, William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. We all probably familiar with the Salvation Army. We mainly know it because at Christmas time they have a red bucket and somebody in a Santa Claus suit ringing a bell. But in its original starting, it was a very evangelistic movement that was focused on preaching the gospel and on reaching the lost. And William Booth founded this movement, and later on in his life, he lost his eyesight. And his son, Bramwell, was given the difficult task of telling his father that he would not be able to recover his sight. And so when he came to speak to his father asked, "Do you mean that I'm going to be blind?" And his son nodded and said, "I hear the doctors say that that is a very real possibility that we must contemplate." And the father continued, "I'll never see your face again?" And his son said, "No, probably not in this life." "Bramwell," said Booth, "I have done all that I could do for God, for his people, with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can for God without my eyes." He wasn't going to let a little thing like blindness stop him from ministering. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He wasn't going to let it stop him from preaching the gospel and reaching people for Christ. Nothing was going to stop him from serving in ministry. And as we continue our series Reboot, today we're going to be talking about rebooting our heart for ministry. You know, the whole concept of rebooting is like what we have to do with a computer. We all today use computers, and sometimes, you know, the computer slows down and you get that death circle in the middle where it just keeps going around and around and nothing is moving. And sometimes the only solution is that you have to turn off your computer and start it again. That's called rebooting, amen? And once you do that, it clears out all the stuff in the RAM memory that was slowing everything down and jamming everything up, and then most likely, unless you have something more serious with your computer, most likely everything starts working again. How many of you have ever had that happen, amen? And so similarly, in the spiritual, sometimes we get stuff that just loads up in our life and kind of slows us down and gums things up and keeps us from really growing and doing what God is calling us to do. And we need to clear out all of those things that have come into our life and bogged us down spiritually so that we can start afresh and anew again. And over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at rebooting our love for God so that he will be the first love of our life again. And then last week, we looked at rebooting our love for one another, falling in love with the church, with the body of Christ once again, because we are the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. And this week, we're going to look at rebooting our heart for ministry. Now, if you missed any of the previous messages, they're still online. You can go to our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, and you can watch those messages or watch them again. I believe that they'll be a great blessing to your spiritual life. But today, as I said, we're going to look at resetting our heart to serve. And even though we're going to be referring to much of John chapter 21, for the sake of time this morning, we're just going to read verses 15 and 7 through 17 right now. The scripture says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" And he's kind of pointing back to when at the Last Supper, when Jesus said that night they would all forsake him. And Peter said, "No, Lord, not me. I love you. I'll never forsake you. I'll even die." He kind of boasted that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples. So he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. But remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. So he was hurt that he asked the same question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." You know, this is one of the occasions after his resurrection that Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he has this very specific encounter with Peter. And you might remember, as we just noted, that Peter had denied Jesus three times the night of Jesus' arrest. And Jesus had predicted it. Jesus said, before the cock crows twice tonight, you will have denied me three times. And Peter was like, no way, that's not going to happen. But he did. And after his denial, the Bible says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine how he must have felt, especially after making such a great boast? I love you so much, I'd even die for you. And now three times in a row, he has failed Jesus. So you can just imagine that sense of utter failure that he must have felt. So he wept bitterly, and Jesus's prediction of Peter's denial was because Jesus knows the weakness of our flesh. He knows our failures better than we know ourselves. I think Peter was sincere when Peter said, I love you, Lord, I'll even die for you. I think Peter meant it. I think Peter thought that he would. How many of you know what I mean? We make commitments to the Lord, and when we make them, we are sincere. But then When the rubber meets the road, sometimes we fail in those commitments. And that's what happened to Peter. But you know what? Jesus's prediction that Peter would fail shows us that God knows us more than we know ourselves, and he loves us still. But nonetheless, Peter must have felt like a complete failure. And even after two appearances of Jesus after his resurrection, John 21:3 says that Peter says to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. So he's already seen the risen Lord two times. Can you imagine how incredible that was? He saw him die on the cross. He saw the empty tomb. And then two times Jesus has appeared to them in a resurrected state. How can you walk away and go back fishing after that? But Peter must have felt such like a failure that he must have felt he was no longer any use to God. And so Peter, who had been a fisherman by profession before he became a follower of Christ, he says, I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I'm good at. I'm returning to my former occupation. So he was going back to the way of life that he used to have before he met Jesus and before he received the call to become a fisher of men. But so much had happened between the day that Jesus called him to be a fisher of men and 3 years later when he denied the Lord three times. But you know, when they first started serving Jesus, they had such excitement. They had such expectation. They were going to establish, they were going to be right there alongside of Jesus as he established his kingdom. And so they left everything and they followed him with joy and they ministered with passion and they ministered with excitement. But now everything had changed. They watched this leader that they had put everything into. They watched him beaten. They watched him crucified. They watched his lifeless body as it was removed from the cross and sealed into a tomb. And even though Jesus had appeared to them twice by this point, Peter had failed the Lord miserably. And in the Greek, he says, I'm going back to fishing. In essence, no more of this ministry stuff. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I'm familiar with. I'm going back to what I'm good with. I'm going back to the way life used to be. And there's so many people in church who are like Peter. They started out following Jesus and serving in ministry with passion and excitement, but for whatever reason, over time, that passion and that excitement faded. And maybe as you're hearing this message today, you don't want to admit it, but inside you're saying, Pastor, that describes me. You know, I don't know why you've lost the passion or the excitement. Maybe you were disappointed. Maybe you didn't see the results that you expected, that you put your heart into it, that you're passionate, that you were, and you didn't see the results. Maybe you failed Jesus in some way, and you feel like I just probably am of no use to him anymore. Or maybe somebody disappointed you. Somebody hurt you in ministry. Or maybe life just happened. Difficulties and hardships came along and they just took it out of you. They drained you and you lost your zeal and you lost your passion for the Lord and for ministry. And that's why we need a spiritual reboot, to clear out all the junk that has quenched the fire of our soul, that has extinguished the fire of passion for ministry that once blazed so brightly within our heart. And in this encounter with Peter, Jesus helps Peter reset his heart to serve. And that's what Jesus wants to do for each and every one of us today. So let's open our heart and let's say, Jesus, speak to me. Can you say that right now? Jesus, speak to me. All right, say it one more time like you mean it. Jesus, speak to me. So let's allow the Lord to speak to us today so that our heart for ministry can be restored, just like Peter's was on this day. The first thing I want us to see is that our love for Jesus is reflected in our service for Jesus. Our love for Jesus is reflected in our service for Jesus. And we see that here three times when Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, then feed my sheep, do my work, minister. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then do my work, do the ministry. Three times, a third time. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then do my work. Are you seeing a pattern here? There's a connection between loving Jesus and doing his work, being involved in ministry. And if we say that we love him and we're not involved in ministry, what does that say? I'll let you answer that question. But our love for Jesus is the motivation for our ministry, or it should be. Peter had obviously boasted of his love for Jesus the night of the Last Supper. And he said, you know, when Jesus said, tonight all of you are going to forsake me. And Peter was like, not me, Lord. I love you more than the rest of these, even though they all forsake. I'll never forsake you. And as I said, that night he denied Jesus three times. And so now Jesus gives him the opportunity three times to reaffirm his love and his commitment to ministry. With each question, do you love me? And each reply, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus was saying, Peter, you are still valuable to me. You are still important for the call, for the ministry that I have for you. You're still important to the kingdom of God. You still have work to do. And so Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, in this interchange, it's interesting that Jesus uses a different word for love than Peter does when he answers. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And he uses the Greek word agapeo, which is the word that was invented to describe the love of God. And it is a love that is unconditional, a love that is unchanging, a love that is deep and selfless and constant. So Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answers back and he says, I phileo you. And the word phileo is the Greek word for friendship love. That's where we get the city of Philadelphia from. The origin of the word is the Greek word phileo, and that's the city of brotherly love. So Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you have that deep, selfless, unchanging, unconditional love for me? And Peter says, you know I'm your friend. You know I care about you. And Jesus keeps pressing, Peter, do you love me? He's coming back to that place of complete, passionate love. That's where he's trying to bring Peter back to. And finally, the third time, when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And it says Peter was troubled that he asked the same question three times. Now this third time, when Peter responds, Peter says, yes, Lord, I agape you. Wow. You see, before he had boasted of his love and he failed. He wasn't going to make that mistake now because he wasn't sure of himself now. So he wants to undersell his love for Jesus. But Jesus is trying to bring him back to that same place of love that he once had for him. And so he presses Peter and he draws Peter and he is resetting Peter's love. He's rebooting Peter's love for him. And so what Jesus says is, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me supremely? Are you completely committed to me? Will you pay any price for me? And at first, Peter is hesitant the first two times, but by the third time, Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you supremely. You are my first love. I am completely committed to you. I will do anything for you. I will even die for you. And eventually Peter would die for Jesus. He would be crucified, but he requested to be crucified upside down because he felt he wasn't worthy to die the same way that Jesus did. But that time he would not fail. He would not deny Jesus. But I want you to see, Jesus doesn't just want us to like him. He doesn't want us to just phileo him, have this casual relationship with him. Jesus wants us to agape him. He wants us to be all in. He wants us to love him with that deep, unchanging, unconditional, Lord, you are the supreme love of my life, and I will do anything for you. Let me just illustrate it this way. It's kind of like the difference between a guy who is just interested in dating and a girl who wants to get married. The guy who just wants to date and hang out, that's phileo. It's an illustration in the illustration. The girl who wants to get married, she's saying, I'm in this for the long haul. I want one person, and I want to give my all to that one person. Do you see the difference I'm talking about? Jesus wants us to be like that and say, Lord, you are the supreme love of my life. I want to give my all to you. Too many of us are dating Jesus. Hello? Jesus is looking for something more. Amen. He wants to be the supreme love of our lives. He wants the commitment. The commitment that says, Lord, I am all in. I give you my all, Jesus. I live for you. And I'll do whatever you want me to do. So he's calling us to that place of loving the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, which Jesus said is the first and greatest commandment. And so God is calling us. And he does it so lovingly, just like Jesus. You know, Jesus gave Peter that opportunity to be restored, to have his love restored. And Jesus did it so graciously. Peter, do you love me? And right now, Jesus is saying to our heart, do you love me? Do you love me? And he's pressing us till we come to that place where we'll say, I love you with all of my heart, Jesus. Amen. And I want to tie that back to ministry, because Jesus tied it to ministry. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. If we've lost our passion for ministry, let's focus on renewing our love for Jesus. Because if you're all in love with Jesus, then you're going to want to serve him and do his work. Amen? Getting quiet in here, but that's okay. Loving Jesus is all about relationship with Jesus. When we love Jesus with all of our heart, we seek for him with all of our heart. Amen? Loving Jesus is knowing him intimately, and the closer we get to him, the more his heart is formed in us. He changes us. And as his heart is formed in us, we begin to love what Jesus loves. You know, I see this sometimes in couples, you know, like they start, you know, dating and whatever, you know, and he's all into sports and everything. She couldn't care less. But then over time, she becomes a sports fan. Why? Because with the time spent with her, who becomes eventually her husband or whatever, that has been formed in her, and she begins to love what he loves and somewhat vice versa. Well, when we spend time with Jesus, we start to become more like him, and his heart begins to be formed in us, and we begin to love what Jesus loves. And what does Jesus love? Jesus is passionately in love with his bride, the church. So much so that he gave his life for us. And one day he's coming back for us. And when we love Jesus with all of our heart, we will begin to love what he loves. So we'll love his bride. We'll love his church. Come on now. And how will that love be expressed? Well, his love for the church was expressed in his ministry of laying his life down for the church. And our love for the church is expressed in our ministry, in acts of service. Just like Jesus said, he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So loving Jesus is expressed in loving his church, And that is expressed in our ministry to his church. See, love for Jesus must be expressed in our care for his sheep. Feed my sheep. The sheep belong to him. This is a different image. We've seen the image of the bride, but in this image, he uses sheep. The sheep belong to him. They are precious to him, and he gave his life for them. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the master shepherd. But he calls us to be under shepherds, caring for, nourishing, feeding, helping to meet the needs of, particularly spiritually, helping to meet the needs of the body. And if we love Jesus, then we are called to love and minister to his sheep, to his church. And write this down. This is going to be profound. Get out your shoe polish, your lipstick, or whatever you have to write, and write this down. Okay, somebody said go slow. I'll go slow. Our service, and the word ministry means service. Our service or our ministry is the proof of our love for Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Our service, our ministry, is the proof of our love for Jesus. If you truly love someone, you will do anything possible that your loved one needs you to do. You know, many of you are aware that last year, my mother went into hospice in my home. And hospice is not what we sometimes think it is. They do provide supportive care, but the family member is the primary caregiver. And my mother was in hospice for 5 months, became paralyzed from her neck down, and needed everything done for her. And so I was the one primarily doing that, along with full-time ministry and work, what have you. And the reason I did it was because I know one of the desires of her heart was, she said, I never want to die in a nursing home. I want to be in my home. And because I love my mother, I served her to the best of my ability. Nobody had to tell me, you need to do this. It was the outflow of my love for her. And when you love Jesus, nobody should have to tell you, you need to be involved in ministry. You need to serve. We should be like, Jesus, use me. I want to serve you, Lord. And we should just jump in and get involved so that we can build his kingdom. We can build his church. Amen. One author writes, your service to God is equal to your love for him. Little service, little love. Much service, much love. So how much you love him determines how much you do and are willing to do, he says. Your service to him is equal to your love for him. It's awful quiet in here, folks. It's where we can say amen, or we can say, oh me. But we can't stay neutral. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but really reflect on it in your heart. Do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? How involved in ministry are you? Because your involvement in ministry is the reflection and measure of your love for Jesus. Amen. All right, moving along. We've lingered there enough. The second principle. The call of ministry does not change even when life changes. We have every Christian, we have all been called to ministry for life. For life. Peter and the other disciples, they went back fishing, as we said. And the Bible says, as we read on in John 21, that they fished all night and they caught nothing. At dawn, Jesus appeared on the shore. And he says to them, and they don't know yet that it's Jesus, he says to them, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And when they did it, they brought in a haul that the net began to break because they caught so many fish. And that was the moment of recognition Because if you remember, 3 years prior, the same miracle had happened, the same scenario. They had fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus tells them, you cast your net. And Peter is like, Lord, you know, I'm a fisherman. The fish are not catching now. This is the middle of the day, that kind of argument thing, because he was a professional. But when he said, nevertheless, at your word, and he cast the net, and they brought in such a catch of fish that they couldn't contain it. And so the same setting, the same miracle, and suddenly they're like, it's Jesus. Because remember, this is post-resurrection. So they're still kind of letting it sink in that he's still alive. And they're like, it's Jesus. So what does Peter do? He dives off the boat and swims to shore to get to Jesus before the rest of them. But in recreating this miracle, Jesus was reminding all of his disciples of his call on their life. Because that was the day when he said, I will make you, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So in recreating this miracle, Jesus is saying to them, circumstances may have changed, but your call has not changed. We are all called to ministry for life. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to ministry. We are called to reach people who do not know him. We are called to speak and act in the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to others. We are called to serve in the body of Christ, to encourage, uplift, teach, and disciple others. We are all called to ministry. And the call to serve, the call to ministry, remains the same through all of life's changes. More than 3 years had passed since Jesus first called his disciples, and a lot had changed in their circumstances. When he first called them, his popularity was on the rise. Then it turned to opposition in the last year. When they first followed him, their hopes of a kingdom were high, and all of those hopes seemed dashed when Jesus ended up on the cross. A lot had changed, but Jesus' call remained the same. Folks, we all go through life changes. I've gone through a bunch of life changes. 6 years ago, I went through stage 3 cancer. God healed me. To God be the glory. Amen. Some of the major ones. Last year, I went through the situation with my mother. But you know what? Through it all, God's call remained the same. I couldn't just say, God, I'm going through some stuff right now, so I can't minister. You know, I came here Sunday after Sunday while my mother was in hospice, Wednesday after Wednesday, and I ministered. And I believe that for the most part, you could not see any difference in me or my ministry, because I did it with all of my heart. Amen. Life changes. We go through stuff. But the calling to ministry for all of us remains the same. We are all called to minister. We may serve in different ways, but our call to serve remains till Jesus calls us home. You may work a job, and you may be looking forward to when you're 65 or 67 or 72 because you're going to retire. But I'll tell you this, there is no retirement from ministry. Amen. We are to serve Jesus till the day he calls us home. The story is told of an accomplished artist who was applying the finishing touches to a bronze sculpture. And he kept filing and he kept scraping and he kept polishing every little piece, every surface of his masterpiece. Someone asked him, "When will it be done?" And he said, "Never. I just keep working and working until they come and take it away." You say, when can I be done with ministry? Never. We just keep working and working till he comes and takes us away. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You may say, but Pastor, I'm older and I can't get out. All right, you can serve as an intercessor in your home. You can do follow-up ministry, calling and encouraging the families of our church. You can still do ministry. You can still do ministry. You may be watching us from out of this area and you say, well, I'm not there in person. You can minister online. You can welcome newcomers when you see them on the live stream. You can pray for people who present their prayer requests there. Pray for them both in your home and maybe type a prayer, in response to their request. You can minister where you are. You may be young. And you may say, well, I don't know, I can't maybe preach, I can't teach. You know, there's lots of ways you can get involved. We have young people. I love this young man, Jeremy, that was up here earlier. He's helping out in our tech ministry. He's one of our live streamers, amen? And so there's always something you can do. You can be a camera person. You can be a computer operator for our projection system. There's so much that you can do. You can be an usher. You can be a greeter. You can help in children's ministry. There's so many things that young people can do, that we all can do. There are many opportunities. If you play an instrument, if you can sing, I know Pastor Tony would be glad to work with you and develop you for the worship team. So see him. Amen. But there's so many opportunities for us to serve Jesus and serve his body. There's always something we can do for the Lord. We have a wonderful crew of people that are a part of our cleaning team. Since this church has started, we have never had to pay for a cleaning service because there are people in this church that love God and love his house, and they are willing to give their time to make God's house look good. Amen? So you may not feel like you can preach or teach, or maybe you can't sing, maybe you can't play, maybe you don't feel like you have much to offer. Be a member of the cleaning team. Do something for Jesus. You're ministering to his house, you're ministering to his people by letting them have a comfortable place and a clean place to come in and worship the Lord. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So there's always something you can do. Third principle, God calls us to use what he has given us for his purpose. Our life and all of our talents and abilities are given us by God. All the fish they caught that day was because of the Lord's blessing. It was a miracle because they had fished all night and caught nothing, right? So everything they caught was as a result of Jesus's power, Jesus's miracle. And when Peter swims ashore, Jesus already has some breakfast prepared, but he says this to Peter, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Jesus didn't need his fish. Jesus already had fish cooking over the fire, and whatever fish Peter had, it was because Jesus gave him that fish with a miracle. But you know what Jesus does? Even though he's given us everything, he gives us the privilege of bringing what he has given us back to him and partnering together with him in his work. Hallelujah. God has given every one of us gifts to be used for his work. Say it out loud. I have a gift from the Lord to be used for his work. Every one of us. There's none of us that can sit there and say, I don't have any gifts. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says he's given every one of us a gift. And if we say, I don't have any gifts, then we're saying, God, you're a liar. And God's no liar. Amen. And so God asks us to bring the gifts he gave us. Some of the gifts, we've been using them in the world. Some of you have the gift of mercy and compassion. You've been using it to earn a living as a nurse. And that's okay. God says, now bring it and use it for my kingdom. Be involved in the hospital ministry, the follow-up ministry. Some of you have the gift of teaching, and maybe you've been using it to earn a living in the world because you're a teacher or an instructor of some kind. And that's okay. God gave you that gift to be a blessing to you, but also to be a blessing to his kingdom. So he says, now come, use that gift. Feed my sheep. I have children. I have young people that need to be taught. Hallelujah. Amen. He allows us to bring what we have and partner together with him. I want you to notice something. He said, bring some of the fish. He didn't say bring all the fish, because God allows us to use some of the life and talents he's given for our own selves. But he asks us to devote some of our time, our talent, and resources to his work. God doesn't need us. We need him. Everything we have, even life itself, came from him. So God doesn't need us, but he chooses us. And he invites us to be a part of his great work in the world. And we have something valuable to contribute to his work. Just like he invited Peter to bring some of the fish he had caught, he was saying, Peter, you have something valuable to contribute. And in 1 Peter 4:10, the scripture says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards or managers of God's grace in its various forms. And he's saying God has given each of us a gift, and he's given us that gift to be used to serve others, to serve his body. And the word steward is a servant who manages resources on behalf of his master. So whatever gifts, talents, time, or ability God has given us, he gave it to us to manage it, to use it wisely for him. Ephesians 4:12 says that God has given spiritual leaders, that's pastors, apostles, evangelists, preachers, teachers, to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry to build up his church, the body of Christ. And then in verse 16, he says this, he, God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. See, he didn't give us all the same gift. He didn't give us all the same talent. He gave what was needed in this body to perfectly fit together. And it says, as each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He's saying every one of you is needed. Every one of you has a valuable gift to contribute to the overall health and life of the church. Hallelujah. God has a vital role for each of us to play. J.D. Brandon uses the analogy of a pit crew to illustrate this verse. And in less time than it takes for most of us to buckle our seatbelt, the pit crew in one of those, you know, big kind of races there, they can change 4 tires, refill the gas tank, wash the windshield, give the driver a drink, and make vital adjustments to the car. In a matter of seconds, the car is in and the car is out. It takes place so quickly and efficiently because each crew member knows his job, has a role, and does it right. Amen. Now, in the body of Christ, we have all been equipped with different skills, and if we'll each jump in and do our part and do it right, the church is going to take off. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Amen. Some people have been appointed to drive the car. They lead certain ministries. Others are appointed to change the tires and wash the windshields. They play support roles. But each job is important. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what it would be if they start changing the tires and one guy decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to take a break, and he leaves the lug nuts off and the car takes off. Yeah. It's going to be a disaster. And that's what happens to the body of Christ when we don't step up and play our role. Something vital is missing, and it hinders the entire body of Christ. Brandon concludes saying, for the body of Christ to fulfill its purpose, we each need to concentrate on our part and do it the best that we can. What is your part, and what are you doing? Are you doing it to the best of your ability? When we all do our part, the church will be built up. The church will be strong. The church will be growing. The church will be full of love. So I ask you, have you found your part? And are you doing it to the best of your ability? And I encourage you, if you have not yet gotten involved in ministry, we would love to have you involved in ministry. Jump onto our website, on our main page, in the first block, there is a bunch of buttons, and one of the buttons says volunteer. Click that volunteer button, fill in that form, check off what ministry you'd like to be involved in, and one of our leaders will get in touch with you and do their best to get you connected in ministry so that you can use your gifts and talents to serve the Lord. But as we said, and through Jesus's words, we learn our love for Jesus is proven by our ministry to others. A wealthy American traveler visited a hospital in Southeast Asia. And he walked in just as a young missionary girl, a nurse, was cleaning the sores of a sick, dirty, elderly man who had been brought in from the street from lying in a gutter. The rich man looked at the nurse and said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. Without blinking an eye and continuing to take care of the patient, she answered quietly and firmly, neither would I. Money couldn't buy her extravagant devotion to Jesus. Her life was being poured out in love for Christ by serving others. So I ask you again, how much do you love Jesus? So how are you serving Jesus? What ministry are you involved in? And are you doing it to the best of your ability? Are you pouring your life out in love for Jesus by serving his church? And as I said, there's so many opportunities to serve. You can get involved in children's ministry, in our nursery, in our hospitality ministry, being a young usher, greeter. You can be a part of our media team, whether it's projection or camera or live stream. There's so many things to be involved, part of our worship team, a part of our cleaning crew. Whatever area, your gifts and abilities, we want to get you connected. We want to help you to partner with Jesus and show your love for him by serving others. But the first step is to place our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and repent of our sins, because that's how we're brought into relationship with God. That's the first step of love for Jesus. The Bible says we've all sinned and sin separated us from God. Sin cuts us off from God. But God made a provision for that by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. And when we repent of our sins, the word repent means to turn away from. So we turn away from our sin and we turn to God in faith and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come and live inside of me. The moment we do that, Jesus says we're born again. We're made spiritually alive and we become a child of God. We're brought into a love relationship with God. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. And you may be here in person or online hearing what I'm saying, and if you have never given your heart to Jesus, or maybe you did so years ago and you've drifted away, and you would say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus. I want to have a relationship with God. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus. I want to be forgiven. I want to have a relationship with God. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Just slip it up and you can put it right back down. Thank you for another hand. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And you that raised your hand, and I'm going to encourage others that are believers to pray along with me to encourage those that raise their hand. Just pray this simple prayer with me. And as you do, meaning it from your heart, God is going to do exactly what you asked him to do. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin and I turn to you in faith. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins and I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer. Amen. You just made the best decision of your life, and we want to help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. And so we want to help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And the first thing we want to do to help you grow is to send you free of charge a little e-booklet titled Now What? That will help you to understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps to take to keep growing in your faith. So if you would, if you just prayed that prayer, would you text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online type I prayed in the comments. We will send you a response message a little bit later today with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send you this book free of charge. But until then, three things I want to encourage you and every believer to do. One, talk to God every day. That's called prayer. Thank him for the good things in your life. Talk to him about whatever problems, difficulties, or challenges you're facing and ask his help. Very basic level, that's prayer. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. If you don't have a written Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or tablet. That's YouVersion, YOUVersion app. It's free. You can read the Bible there as much as you want. There's never a charge. I encourage you to start reading in 1 John. And before you read, ask God to help you understand what you're reading. What you don't understand, put it to the side. What you do understand, pray and ask God to help you put it into practice in your life. Do that every day. And then the third thing, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, we invite you to come and be a part of this church family. We will support you, we'll encourage you, we'll pray alongside of you, and we'll help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. But it's important to get connected to a local church. And don't just attend, but put down deep roots. Get connected in relationships in the body of Christ. That's what helps us to grow. But once again, congratulations to you. For those of us who've already placed our faith in Christ, He's calling all of us to reset our heart for ministry, to renew our passion and our commitment to serve in ministry, to get involved, for some of us to get involved for the first time in ministry. And if you would say today, I love you, Jesus, and I want to serve in ministry as an expression of my love for you. If that's your heart's desire, would you stand to your feet right where you are? I love you, Jesus, and I want to serve in ministry as an expression of my love for you. As you stand, would you just slip out and make your way to this altar just for a few moments as we close our service out in prayer? You're making a commitment to Jesus today. You're saying like Peter did the third time around, yes, Lord, I love you. You are the supreme love of my life, and I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just talk to the Lord from your heart as I pray over us. Father, I thank you for all of these who have received and are responding to your word this morning. Father, I thank you for the openness of heart to hear what you are saying to us. I thank you for their readiness to obey and put into practice your word. Father, I believe that out of this, we're going to have such a wonderful harvest of people getting involved in ministering for your glory and honor. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to find our place in ministry where we can use the gifts and talents and abilities that you have given us to serve others and to build up your body so that your church can grow and reach many more lives in love. Father, help us to get plugged in and connected in the place where we can serve and partner together with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go online to the website, click the volunteer button, let us know where you want to serve, and we'll get in touch with you. Let's close out in song.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.